Okay, so we're all set.
Okay, I would like to call the June 6, 2019 meeting of the Energy and Environment Committee to order and ask that we start with a Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And everyone's had a chance to look over the minutes of the May 9th meeting. I would call for a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll move it.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries, and I'll sign this on the way back. All right, and with that, I think
it's turning on.
Chris is here for these first two anyway, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. So I would like to put on the table resolution number 243, adopting and issuing a negative declaration regarding CEQA for or by the Ulster County Legislature for the removal of the Mount Pleasant Bridge, Department of Public Works and Highways, and
I'll move it.
Second.
Wait, who said second?
Oh, I did. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So, do you want to just give a little background on that?
So, this is a old Pony Truss Bridge that's located in the town of Shandaken off the extension of Risley Road, and it would have connected to Route 212. It was closed in 1986 to traffic and in 1990 to pedestrians. And when Shandaken was doing its floodplain enhancement study, they found that if they took this bridge out along with the abutment, that it would help alleviate flooding downstream. So the DPW went and they worked with the Catskill Watershed Corporation, which is going to fund the project. And you have already created the project. You declared lead agency. So the resolution before you tonight is just to do the neg deck on this unlisted action. DPW did coordinate through the whole process with New York State Office of Parks and Historic Preservation, because the bridge was eligible for the National Historic Register, and they did come to a letter of resolution where you basically document all the conditions in the bridge. They do have to install interpretive signage on both sides of the creek, and then they can demolish the bridge with SHPO's blessing. So our guys did every part of it right, and again, I think if you wanted to add anything,
essentially the facts on the ground, and the community is very attached to the bridge, has really continued to use it for transit, pedestrian transit, even despite the warnings and climbing over the barriers. So it's not happy for us to have to do this, but it's the reality is that it's a constriction and it's become a safety hazard. And the amount of money it would take to redo it to modern day specifications is exorbitant. So we just have to face that reality and take the bridge out.
And it also includes taking out the pier at the left.
Anybody have any other questions or concerns? I will call the question. All in favor of resolution number 243, issuing a neg deck on CEQA for the removal of the Mount Pleasant Bridge.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. And then we have resolution number 244, declaring the intent to act as lead agency under CEQA for capital project number 470, Ulster County Midtown Linear Park, Department of Planning.
479, just to clarify for the tape.
I'll move it.
Project number 479, yes,
second.
For clarification. Second?
Second, yeah.
Okay. Did you want to speak to that, or does anyone have any questions?
Just clarify. You said Ulster County Linear Park. Did you? Is this along in Kingston?
Yep.
Yeah. The point.
Broadway?
It's the 0.8 mile linear park that we partially. Oh. You know, we did an interim little piece of it to open it.
You were there a couple months ago asking for, because there was one landowner who was not.
No, that's a different project.
Yep.
Okay. Sorry, that's the Kingston Rail Trail project.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is a separate project. It's federally funded. It runs from Kingston Plaza to Cornell Street. And the legislature has previously done a segmented review and a neg deck on removing about 0.3 of a mile of the track so that we could get patrols and open that. It's in the area where we had the murder in November of 2017 underneath one of the overpasses. So it was an area that was derelict. People were shooting up drugs underneath the bridges. They were dumping all kinds of stuff. And we've opened part of it, and next year we hope to go to construction on a more improved trail. Right now it's stone dust. It will be paved, drainage fixed, connections to nearby streets redone, new lighting. The lighting's awful right now. It's just safety lighting, and it's glaring and kind of abusive to the neighbors. And we're going to do full cutoff lighting, LED. So it should. So again, this is the only reason this is you're doing lead agency here. It's a type one action because it's substantially contiguous to the Sharp burial ground. We already have a letter from the State Historic Preservation Office that they see no conflict with that, and they've given us a letter of no adverse impact.
What's the burial ground? Sharp?
Sharp. SHARPE. And that's right at, it's not even, you can't even see it from the rail corridor because it's quite a bit down in elevation. It's a cut.
Yeah.
You mentioned that it would go all the way to Cornell, and whenever I envision, you know, having walked on, it just goes to Down Street. Now, with the correction
interim.
To the encroachment by, you know, like Boise's Dairy, is all that opened up now?
Oh, it's always been open. The encroachment didn't block
it. Across it.
No, we put gates just to stop the dumping years ago. And so we didn't want to put the gates down till we have it fully open. Because right now, all of those areas are stable. We haven't had any crimes. We haven't had any mischief. The nearby property owners are helping to watch and take care of it.
Okay.
So once we open the linear park, all those gates will come down.
Okay.
And it'll be open. It'll be open from 5 a.m. to 12 p.m. each evening.
Oh, so it will be closed off.
Only
off hours.
Well, just between midnight and 5,
okay.
So people aren't camping on it.
Okay.
And that's always been an issue in that area.
What about at the other end, down toward the plaza? There was some discussion about possibly leaving tracks that related to the railroad. Has that been discussed or resolved?
That is being done in the design. There were two options. One was to remove all of the track to Westbrook Lane. The other is to leave 800 feet of track per the permit and build the trail around it. The preferred alternative right now leaves the train there.
Nice.
We just didn't want another fight.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have no more appetite for it.
Okay.
Yay.
Fair enough.
I mean, it's, you know, for 800 feet, I'd have Holy Grail battle here.
Good. Okay. Anybody else have any other questions, concerns, discussion? I will call the question on resolution number 244, declaring the intent to act as lead agency under CECRA for project number 479, Ulster County Midtown Linear Park. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries.
Do you need to try anything else?
Thank you. Let's see. New business?
I don't think so. As much fun as...
As much as...
He's asking if we need him for anything
week,
else, but
I
don't
thanks,
no. think
thanks
we
thanks
do.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
We'll decide.
Thank you.
Yeah. You want to pass those?
I'll feel deep,
man. Yes.
Let me sign in.
I'll sign in later. The sign-in sheet's up here.
And that's the second one, And that's just copies of those other laws that you're about to discuss.
Yes. Oh, okay. Thank you. Moving on to new business. Resolution number 268. For July 16th, 2019, setting a public hearing on the proposed local law, amending, I'm getting used to new glasses, bear with me, local law number 3 of 2019, a local law amending Chapter 304, Article 1 of the Code of the County of Ulster, to be held on August 13th at 6 p.m. And this is the solid waste disposal.
It's anti-importation.
Say again?
Anti-importation.
Oh, okay.
But this is for next month, correct?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's for set. So we don't need to set the public hearing tonight?
No.
Okay.
No, we can't.
No. You don't have a resolution before you tonight.
Okay.
Next month, you will.
So this is just
discussion.
For discussion.
New business to become familiar with, and then next month. Go ahead.
Yeah, and obviously, I 100% support the intent of this. I was just, for background purposes, when I was talking to individuals involved in this situation, like in Saugerties, some people were under the impression that we already had a law in place from a while back that essentially did this. So I'm just for clarity.
Okay, we do have a law.
Mm-hmm.
And that was put in place many years ago when we were looking at siting a landfill so it wouldn't become the golden goose and we wouldn't end up with waste from outside of the county. The thing was with the law is they define refuse as rubbish, garbage, industrial waste. So it doesn't encompass all of the part of the solid waste system. Right. Oh, I'm so sorry. DEC, the Part 360 DEC, because we've been getting a lot of materials up. I'm so sorry. I'll turn that down. They now, if it is fill, if it was your typical asphalt, concrete, other types of construction demolition debris, it requires a manifest. So they now refer to it as regulated waste.
Gotcha.
So this law would include in the new definition of refuse, it would include regulated material, which would be the concrete and these other items that are coming up from the city. And they come in, they look for farmland, and they said, well, it's you know, clean fill, and at one time that's what it was called. We'll give you money, you can spread it, and there's no issue, except it's got lead, it's got asbestos, it's got everything that we don't really want our water systems up here. And, you know, as you know, it's infiltrated the wells in Rochester. And it also included, there was something else that was left out. Now, we did refer to clean fill, which is really clean fill.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone comes in with gravel or sand or soil with no petroleum in it, that is not covered in the definition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that can come in. So you can have Catrone stone and gravel, bring and put gravel on the ground. But it cannot be construction and demolition debris. It cannot be the regulated waste, which is sometimes called clean fill, and that would be the concrete. It just needed to be cleaned up. So these are the three definitions.
Gotcha.
Regulated waste and construction. And I think, I don't want to speak for anyone, but I think that was one of the roadblocks that was hit when they were looking at Saugerties and restricting refuse from being dumped there is that refuse did not include it before.
Where, if I may, where did this come from?
The law?
No.
Or
how did it come before us?
We have been, Joe Maloney and I have been.
Okay, because we don't have a covering resolution, so I didn't know.
Yeah,
okay.
We were looking at some way to address the issue of these materials coming up from the city. And we had looked at flow control. Flow control is for what's generated within the county. So even if we included C&D in flow control, it would just be what's in Ulster County. This is an anti-importation and landfilling, so it covers the material that comes from outside of the county. And it could go into a transfer station,
that
as long as it's not permanently.
That's going to be introduced in July for this law.
Got it.
Is it okay if I jump in, Manna?
I'm more clear now.
Okay.
So, I have some questions. I very much like what you're trying to do here. As we were trying to deal with the situation in Saugerties in real time, mm-hmm. we encountered several different legal issues. One was that the county, Ulster County, actually has, through the Department of Health, regulations that require the trucks to register where they're coming from,
mm-hmm.
and we were pushing to see if we could get enforcement of that existing law, and we're told and referred and have seen that there is case law that is highly critical of laws that would restrict the site of origin of the materials. So we didn't push for enforcement because we didn't think that would stand up in the court.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the 360 regs, which allow some of the things which this law would now be trying to separate and handle in a different way than the New York State 360 regs. And I'm not sure if we're preempted on this. So I think that'd be something that we have to look at. And the materials that at the Corrales site in particular were said to be processed but are not processed. If they were processed in accordance with what DEC is requiring,
mm-hmm.
then it seems that they would count as reasonable fill.
Yeah.
But you have them defined here in a way that I think might not allow for processing
mm-hmm.
and use as fill, which would bring it into conflict with the 360 regs, whether we're preempted or not. We would be one thing saying yes and one thing saying no,
mm-hmm.
and so what does the person do?
Well, to address the health department, it's the interference with commerce. If,
mm-hmm.
if everybody coming in or through Ulster County had to get a health department permit, basically, you're closely running in parallel with the original Carbone decision, where Rockland County was going onto the thruway and pulling in anybody going through the county and seizing their solid waste under flow control, and that was considered interference with commerce. So I could see where they
well, that was part of it. But the other thing that these laws are trying to do is, basically, they were trying to say, well, if it's coming from certain sites, it's not clean.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's coming from other places, then we'll accept it because we consider it clean. And the courts, as I was reading it, were saying that that was a poor substitute for knowing whether or not it was dirty or hot material or clean. And it was unfair to use a geographic site of origin
mm-hmm.
to say that that's not clean. So I think there may have been both issues at play, but at this latter issue was part of it. And so I'm happy for us to try to take this on. I think
mm-hmm.
we just need to walk through it very, very carefully because it's a very highly regulated area in New York State, and it's
yeah.
very contentious right now because of a court case that has caused DEC to go into a consent agreement about how they're even going to enforce their existing regulations, and a promise by DEC to redo their regulations. So,
take 10 years.
Which could be very long,
yeah.
but it puts us in a vulnerable position to come in with new regulations. Not saying we can't do it, but I would want to have legislative council, executive council. You know, I think there's a very likely realm to generate legal action against us if we misstep. We certainly have seen that there's vigorous defense by these haulers at every place where anybody tries to rein them in. And so I want us to be sure that we got it right, so that if we do get taken in court, we win.
It's all there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I haven't, I'm not sure what part of the 360s say that it doesn't prohibit the process. We could take a look at that.
Yes.
And include it under clean fill?
I think it's under a beneficial use determination.
Well, it's beneficial use determination. That could be tires, that could be glass, that could be anything.
No, there's specific language about construction and demolition debris,
mm-hmm.
in addition to allow, you can have a BUD for those other things,
mm-hmm.
as well. But I haven't gone through the entire court case, but I've read excerpts of it and excerpts of the regs, and enough to flag this.
Mm-hmm. And beneficial use also requires annual reports, stockpiling it only for so long. Usually they're only between 2 and 5 years.
They maybe in theory.
Well,
yeah.
Right, which is why we do need to keep reining them in. You know, these. You know, whatever you want to call them, can certainly keep taking the county or whomever to court, but we need to rein them in before they do. And that is what the spirit of the new Part 360 was, to do that.
Do we know if any other county is working on this?
Yeah.
Because it would be great if we're going to do county-level solutions,
mm-hmm.
to team up on this, because if we're going to get sued, then we'd have, you know, defense, and you know, we'd have allies,
yeah.
and we could, you know, have a unified front on it. And you know, I think it's going to take some high-powered lawyering to get this right for what we're trying to achieve,
mm-hmm.
and get it to fit with this existing kind of shifting sand framework.
I hear legislator Nolan suggesting that the attorneys review it and get back to us, and we're not going to be acting on this evening.
No, not until next month.
I think that would be helpful.
This time to, yeah, which was, you know, what the intent was.
Yeah, and it's good that we're talking about it now.
Yes.
Can you work on this, or do you think you have to recuse?
Well, I should explain to the committee, I've already talked to Tracy a fair bit about this. I have two reasons for stepping aside from this project, which are very much related.
You can reach out to Chris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 First of all,
and I'll flag it for him too when I talk to him.
Thank you.
First of all, I have spoken to Chris as well,
yeah.
because I was stepping away. I originally represented some of the citizens in Saugerties, the neighbors, who were very concerned about this, and I did some initial work for them. In particular, in their initial advocacy, which related to the town, which was trying to enforce against this and under town zoning. After I stepped away, when I came to the legislature, I stepped away from all my Ulster County cases. But my associate, who I encouraged to set up a separate law office just for this purpose, ended up picking up a lot of those cases, and I wasn't dealing with them, and this was one of them. So my two reasons is, A, I was directly representing the citizens on this, and B, my associate is still representing the citizens on this. Now, I've continued to have conversations with her about it, because my perspective on this is that this, and I understand where Legislative Petit is coming from, but the ball is primarily in DEC's court, and the reason I think why this is happening is because DEC is all over the place in terms of their own interpretation of their regulations, including, as either Legislative Nolan or Legislative Petit said, there is currently a consent decree against DEC's enforcement of its regulations. And so this is kind of a legal minefield. When I originally came into it, or was observing it on the part of the legislature, is because legislators Petit and Maloney were proposing a flow control mechanism, and I kind of said, I really shouldn't work on this. But I'm going to tell the chair, and I'll tell the committee, that the conflict rules, and this is a conflict, don't require automatic recusal. They require full disclosure to everybody, and then you can decide sort of what you want to do. And that's where I'm at right now, because I've been
as much as I've tried to get away from this for the last couple of months, I can't. I'm just right in the middle of it in a bunch of different ways, and it's here. And it's also incredibly important. And so I advise Legislator Keith to you know, deal with Chris. And I don't know to what extent she has, and we've got a new law now, and so that's where I'm at right now. I could work on, I've also talked to I've told everybody, including the legislators, that step number one here, before we legislate, because it's going to be a difficult, traumatic thing, is to, and I've told also Emily Swenson, my associate, that the number one thing to do is to get after DEC. If we can, because this is a regional problem. This is a problem for, you know, this county. We've had, I had a case previously in Greene County. And so the basic problem here is there's a lot of C&D, a lot of construction and demolition coming out of downstate. There's a lot of land up here. And the DEC's rules, for all that we were discussing, the contamination of the C&D, the real fundamental problem is the size constraint. The guy in Saugerties is filling in a valley. We're talking about tens of thousands of cubic yards, 20 or 30 or 40,000 cubic yards. And DEC's just out to nowhere on it. And that it should you shouldn't have to prove... forgive me if I'm running on it also, I'm stepping out of line here, but to my mind, we shouldn't have to prove that there's contamination when you start talking about tens of thousands of cubic yards filling in a valley just because the guy happens to own the property. And this is, as I'm sure the legislator happens to know, the towns that are involved are up in arms about this, particularly Saugerties, but it's very, very hard to enforce town zoning in a situation like this, and they've had their problems in court. And so my thinking was, we should be storming DEC. That takes really the legislature out of it as a legislating body and just really more of an advocacy body. But Legislator Petit has an alternative proposal, and that's where we're at right now. So you guys can decide as a body and with the entire body, with the chair, whether you want me involved or not. I can't get away from it, but whether I'm the official attorney looking at this is another question. And I do have continued sympathy with the citizens on this. And that's just clear.
I think we should definitely reach out to Chris.
Yeah, I think if we maybe have Chris as the lead,
should go to the county executives.
Yeah.
The county attorney staff.
But my feeling is that the disclosure of the connections doesn't, in this case, create a conflict. Because it's actually a confluence of interest.
I have sympathy with the citizens.
Yes, but we are here representing the citizens. So, and you have enormous expertise on this. So, my personal feeling would be to, check with both Chris and the executive council, Ulster County attorney. About the question of recusal, because if we were able to have a team and have David be a part of that team, I think it would be an asset.
As long as it's disclosed, my associate is still working on this, and I'm still talking to her.
Have you spoken with minority council?
First you should speak to majority council.
That
should be the first step.
We've already talked about flow control.
I just heard Chris's name.
When did your proposal morph?
I'd say about 3 weeks ago.
And you and Joe
He was still pushing the flow control, and then he was, because the way that he asked questions, he asked me every question imaginable. He said, what if it was gravel? What if it was fill? Well, why can't you do this? And I think he still would like to see flow control on C&D, but that wouldn't address protecting
even flow control. You're talking about an importation ban.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And I think that's
and it may even be helpful in the future, because if we're looking at a landfill in Ulster County, we want this to be for Ulster.
And flow control would also involve the RRA.
But it would only involve what was generated in Ulster County, so we could still be getting city, arsenic-laden garbage up here that they're calling clean fill, and it's still getting dumped on local properties.
My sense is if you go that route, that you have to make it absolute. You can't say yes to some counties and no to others. It would have to basically say nowhere. And even that, I think, may not hold, because this town of Saugerties law that says you can't bring fill in from outside of Saugerties is not really holding in this case.
And without,
so far as we can
tell. Without having done the research, I would also point out one difficulty, which is that, for better or for worse, and I think Glenn Slater Milton knows more about this than I do, under DEC's regulations, there is a recognition that some use of this material is beneficial. Mm-hmm. It's the sort of thing that it can be used to fill in, you know, roadbeds and things mm-hmm. like that. And so that's why I was approaching this from a size perspective. Like it's one thing to bring in, you know, 10 cubic yards because it's a cheap way for you to fill in a roadbed, and that's fine. It's another thing to bring in 20,000 cubic yards because you're just getting, you know, mm-hmm. you're filling in a valley.
And they do when you have a beneficial use permit.
And so my point is, if you do an absolute control in some way, it's probably going to bump up against, without having done the research, mm-hmm. I think at that point you're going to be bumping up against some DEC policies that's going to cause problems.
Here's a suggestion that might get us through this, you know, kind of navigate right through. One of the things that the Part 360 regs do for this beneficial use determination is say that you can use asphalt, concrete, bricks, etc., for fill, but it's supposed to be processed.
Right.
But as far as I can tell, I haven't found yet any definition or regulation around what processing means and what size you have to get down to. And I think that's actually something that DEC may fix at the DEC level to help, because the stuff that is in Saugerties is huge. I mean, it's the size of chairs and masonry blocks that are not, you know, so it's not really suitable as fill. Any engineer just looking at it, it's not stable. So what about if we were to pass a law that said in Ulster County, processed fill has to meet the, you know, we talked to some engineers, has to meet this kind of size specification. We would leave out, you know, it would take us completely out of the realm of all those court cases of where it comes from and the flow control and all those issues, and we just say, to count as processed fill in Ulster County, it has to be basically usable as fill. And none of these folks want to do it. It would basically make them go somewhere else that doesn't have such a law. So you know, it's not solving the problem ultimately, but it would help protect Ulster County temporarily, I think. So maybe we can ask council about that as an alternative or as an addendum to this approach. Because I think that's what, if DEC had that, I think they'd have a much easier time enforcing than they do currently. They're having to go out and they do these tests, and the tests almost never show the stuff to be contaminated because it's really, it's a hit or miss whether you're getting into the contaminated part when you've got tens of thousands of cubic feet of material. But if you just had to tell what size it was, it'd be you go out there with a little mesh see whether it goes through.
Like they did with the ash.
Yes.
You know, that it had to be ground up within a certain, I think it was a half inch or, are we able to follow the law but make it stricter? Since that's a DEC law, could we follow
again? The problem is DEC has a policy which ascribes a beneficial use to this material. So if you try to be stricter and to infringe on that beneficial use, you may have. I haven't looked at the details, and I want to be very clear that you need a good long look at this. But I would come at the angle of the size. I mean, it's one thing to have a beneficial use because you're filling in a road. It's another thing to bring in 40,000 cubic yards, and that's an environmental affront. I also think that, again, I think we need to get to DEC. And ultimately, DEC has a consent order on this because they were sued. DEC's hands are actually tied. You may have to get to the legislature on this. I'll just point, for people that don't know, there was actually a very dramatic episode because of the advocacy to DEC. A couple of weeks ago, there was a raid on the Corolla site. They brought in the NCON cops and the helicopters, and it lasted for one day. Like they shut them down for a day, and then they took their samples, they went back to study it, and the next day the whole thing started all over again. So there is fits and starts in terms of movement on this, but...
But isn't a consent order, they can't move forward with
it. DEC cannot move forward. Well, Kathy may know more than I do, but DEC was sued by the industry over their implementation of the new regulations, and they have a consent order under which they agreed, I believe, to suspend their enforcement of the regulations until X date, and then who knows what's going to happen after X date, and you know,
right.
You know the details.
And I think it's that, and I think it's that part of the regulations that has specifically to do with the source of the material in this effort to do flow control. So that's why I think this legislation may be particularly problematic, because it goes right into the heart of where that consent decree is. And I just don't see what resources Ulster County would use to bring forward to enforce on this unless it lines up with what DEC is going to be able to do. To have us as an independent enforcement, it's like what the town is trying to do, but worse, because the town has a separate realm of home rule where they're supposed to be in charge. This is not normally the county's realm to be regulating solid waste.
It also raises the question of who would enforce it. I can't imagine the agency would want to.
It would be the Ulster County Sheriff's Office or something.
We should talk to Juan if you want to get the sheriff involved. So, like I said, I would approach it from a size perspective, but there's a lot here, and I haven't waded in just because until basically today, I've considered myself accused, but as of the last couple of weeks, I thought, you know, I should just go the other route and tell everybody what the situation is, and then you can decide if you want me involved.
So you at this point, though, you have no financial conflict related to this. You are on staff here.
I have a continuing duty of loyalty to my previous clients, and as I said, my associate who sets up her own firm for these issues, she's working for you.
Yes, she is.
So
I should disclose. So my work with Catskill Mountain Keeper has taken us on as an issue, and we have hired David's associate.
So there's a substantial continuing interest in this on part of people that are associated with me. And so I just thought it was just a bad idea for me to be involved. But if it's called for, there's full disclosure, and you can make your own decisions. But Laura was also, I told Laura that I advised her to start working with Chris.
What concerns me is the consent order and the fact that this facility is continuing to operate, and who knows what is going into that valley.
Well, again,
but you want clarification
but it's
on
just
your...
Even if it's not
it's
contaminated.
40,000 cubic yards or whatever. It's an egregious abuse of the privilege of being able to bring in something for its presumed beneficial use. And it may well be clean, but the point is we can't have our county. Well, that's your job.
Yeah.
But
the town law in Saugerty says no more than 5,000 cubic feet. And this is in
cubic feet?
Cubic yards. Yes, cubic yards. And so this is, in multiples of that at any one site.
He's got three sites. One is a transfer site.
Each site has probably
sites.
30,000 to 40,000 by estimates.
District.
It is my district, yes.
Yeah.
You can comment on the impact on the district.
So
DEC's got the lunch, and the town is spinning its wheels. And so I understand where this is coming from.
Mm-hmm. And it'll protect us in the future. I mean, if and when Ulster County ends up with a landfill, we want to make sure it's not coming in from everywhere. We want to be able to close off our borders as far as that goes, as far as importing other people's garbage.
I do think we will need to pay some respect to DEC's vision that this is actually useful commercial product as long as it's handled properly. Like, somebody's building a foundation or something like that and brings in several dozen cubic yards
but
to do that.
This is not temporary storage for use somewhere else. This is filling in that valley.
Two sites filling in. One site is a transfer station. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is. And I believe, and you guys may be able to correct me, that his excuse for it is that he's essentially grading for ultimately, it's a residential area, of course, it's a rural area, so he's going to be grading to build homes. But he's raised that grade probably 30 feet or so, and my guess is that no engineer would put a home on that.
But even on the original property, it has caused roadway problems and flooding
because
it's too high.
None of the answer is under any rational environmental standard. It's clearly out of bounds. It should be illegal by DEC, or if we have to, we should do it. But that's why my own personal approach would be from the size perspective and to say, you have a few cubic yards you can play with. After that, sorry.
I agree with that. I think that the volume, as well as maybe the size of the particles, is going to be good. But this is really big that we're being faced with and tackling here. I'm just thinking, could we reach out, and maybe it would be through the chair of this committee, to the PACE Environmental Law group down in Westchester County. They have been hugely helpful on things like this. And maybe also Environmental Advocates of New York, who have made legislation around solid waste in New York a major focus. Because we're talking about potentially needing changes in New York State legislation and or DEC regulations in order to have something that will stand as, you know, complement that. And then, even then, it may get into court, because these haulers and these people receiving it do not want to be regulated. And they would fight it to the mail.
PACE Land Use Law Center, if parties are agreeable, likes to do essentially a conflict resolution process. Environmental
appropriate here, I don't think. I don't think that's the only thing they do. I mean, they...
The trainings
that
I've taken...
That might be the most ideal.
Yeah, but...
But, in this
we're
case,
not playing
no.
with...
No.
Yeah, well, I'll look into that.
Cooperative.
You know, it may not be helpful. I just think that we need that kind of legal power of, you know...
And that statewide scope.
Yes.
I don't feel familiar... I don't feel familiar enough to reach out to PACE.
I'd be happy to look and see.
If you would. And Environmental Advocates, I would say that you want to be working with them, but I don't know that we would reach out to them. If the sponsors want to do that, I just...
Well, sort of like we used consultants through Riverkeeper for the plastic bag law. You know, we had people that at the state level knew how to do that and really helped us make sure that what we were doing was going to be really useful.
Yeah.
So I was thinking of them in that light. I think it's also fine for the nonprofits to reach out to them separately. If they're not really experts on this, then it wouldn't serve that role. But if they are... then I think we're going to need to bring in all the resources we can in order to do this kind of legislation.
And they may be aware of this happening somewhere else that we're not aware of.
Yeah.
I had a case in Greene County last year, although it was on a bunch of other issues. But was in the town of Catskill. So my impression is that this is a potential regional problem. There's a lot of open land up here, perhaps not quite as many enforcement personnel as there are downstate, and there's a lot of construction downstate. I'm assuming that this is a potential issue in terms of importation into this area. And like I said, I did have the issues in Greene County were in some ways very, very different, came down to a lot of personalities. It was a slap suit. It was a lot of very unattractive things going on, but this was one of the underlying allegations. You may be aware of what I'm talking about.
Now, what was the outcome of that?
Well, it was a slap suit. The person who was complaining was not. She had significant issues with resources, and ultimately we won a determination at the appellate division that it was a slap suit, and then the suit continued. And basically, the trial judge, even though she was sued for defamation because she was complaining about this ongoing activity on the neighboring property, and so the property owner sued her for defamation, and she was not the most competent client in the world. It did turn out to be a slap suit, but the judge should have dismissed it, and he didn't. And so, you know, the plaintiffs have the right right now to basically to win a judgment from her for whatever they want. But as soon as they do, and they've asked for $60,000, but they could, I had to leave the case because she can't pay us. She has no money. She's very difficult, and so she's representing herself pro se. And they can sue her. They can put a zero on her if they want. Sue her for $600 and win because she can't
defend herself. But I've told the council that, you know, if they do that, then when we go back up on appeal as to whether or not this is consistent with the SLAPP rules, the lower judge missed the boat on that, that he's just making my case for me. But for now, it's completely bad. And then we haven't heard a thing in a year because they know that he's gotten a judgment that says that she was a crackpot and a liar, but let him go ahead and try to reduce that to a money judgment, and we'll go back up on appeal and see what happens. So it's a mess. But the point is, there's this underlying issue of she's alleging, her allegation consists of importation of large amounts of C&D and other waste from downstate areas and deposition on his property and into properties adjacent to hers, including wetlands. And by the way, the guy did get written up for a wetlands violation. And she's also alleging subsequent impact on her family's health, which, whatever. It's a messy case.
We've been contacted about that multiple times as well.
Yeah. It's right over the line.
She's gone. Yeah. She's in Delaware County now. She was forced out. She was forced out.
Maybe it's something different.
Yeah.
So the loose ends that I see, I mean, this is incredibly complicated, and it's going to take some working through, but what do we need to take any action or make any recommendation with regard to the question about whether or not Attorney Gordon has to recuse or?
We don't have to take any action. I mean, I think they already set it up so she was going to reach out to Rucucci, and then they can go as they move forward. They can decide whether or not they want to approach David since he just closed.
Well, that's already recused. Yeah. If you guys want me to come back,
exactly. Yeah. So and I think they should make that decision as they begin addressing.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll also disclose.
Exactly. Yeah. That we as a committee don't need to take any action.
But my first instinct was to walk away, and now I'm thinking you may want to consult with me at some point.
Yeah. My one other suggestion, just because they might know, would be to reach out to Neil Seldman from the Institute for Local Self-Reliance to see, just because he knows solid waste really well nationally.
Who would do that now?
Possibly Mike Ewall from Energy Justice Network. Those are just to get additional information on how this is handled. But I am very concerned that this situation is in limbo.
I would also point out one other thing for the legislature. In addition to legislating, which may be what we do, I think in terms of reaching out to the state, DEC, and possibly even the legislature, it's going to be very, very important that this county has a really strong voice. And I know that the chair was asked to circulate a letter. I don't know if she did. And I think also the county acting county executive was asked to sign on to a letter to basically rattling DEC's cage. I would just say that that's the one thing that the legislature should do, is to support the efforts to have the county speak out with a very, very strong voice, executive, legislature, go into DEC. Because DEC right now is dealing with the industry. If they need to hear from people that are pissed off about this, and I think that, you know,
so
the chair should be encouraged to
circulate. An initial memorializing resolution to the commissioner of DEC, is that what you...
I think that was actually happening. I don't know what happened to it. And also, I think Adele was working as well on it.
So, I think it was kind of...
I think the executive writer did send a letter to DEC to encourage them to take action, as did Tracy,
okay.
The chair.
Okay.
And I believe that was circulated, and we got sign-on it as well.
We have 4 senators and 4 assemblymen that represent this county.
Well,
probably more than any other county in the
city. I think ultimately there's a lot of politicking that's going to be needed to be... And I think the legislature should take part. And again, I'm just disclosing. I'm also interested in the citizens as well. But that's something the legislature could do in addition to legislating. And I think it's going to be very important.
But I think that we kind of put it on hold just momentarily when DEC moved to see what they were doing, so that we could then see which direction we need it to go. So I don't know of anything that actually.
No, it's still waiting for information back from DEC on what their findings were and what type of enforcement, even on things like volume, they might do. and the case is in front of Judge Mott, the New York State Supreme Court judge, in terms of
the town
of Saugerties enforcing its zoning and town laws. So both of those are in process, and people waiting for a result with, you know, a great deal of frustration because they've been dealing with this for over 2 years now.
I was just pointing out to the legislature that it's been private citizens so far, and Mountain Keeper, and if Adele wrote a letter, great, but ultimately I think the county government's going to have to really stand up strong, mm-hmm. and it's not just going to be one letter.
Meetings
with every senator, meetings with every assembly.
And it sounds like we should move on that letter now,
yes.
even though we don't have the information.
Yes.
Because actually it's
we did
going
talk
very slow.
With the nonprofit groups that are working on this did talk with Pat Ryan to brief him, so he's coming in. He's not coming in completely cold. Antonio Delgado is aware and has pledged his assistance when we have something specific that he can do. Assemblyman Tigg, whose district it is, was approached but hasn't given any concrete indication of what he would do. And Senator Amador, whose district it is, have been approached. We didn't yet approach other assembly members.
But you're talking
senators.
Mountain Keeper and other citizens.
Yes.
It's
yes.
But it's different.
Yeah, different to have the, the legislature. But I think it'll be much easier to take the actions that are being suggested here when we have the executive in the office to work in conjunction with the chair.
And that's tomorrow.
Monday.
Yes. Right.
He's being sworn in tomorrow, by the way. I don't know.
But tomorrow afternoon, I don't think would be the right time to ask him.
Monday.
Heck, why not hit the ground running?
He's being sworn in tomorrow at
noon.
The courthouse at noon.
You should have gotten an invitation. We're waiting to hear who's coming.
I didn't get one.
I wanted to go.
On Facebook.
It was emailed.
I didn't get it either.
It was emailed. And we're trying to get a count of how many legislators are coming so they can save seats. So
yeah,
if you're going to come. Okay.
I told her already that I'm coming. But
you can talk to Tracy if you think it's appropriate to find out. Just have her with Laura as well to see how you want me involved. If not, like Chris is totally.
Is it unethical to pick your brain if they think you should recuse yourself?
I'll do brain picking, but whether I want to work on it as the primary guy or be seen as the primary guy, more importantly, I'm not sure. I think you want Chris doing a lot of that, but that's up to you guys to decide how you want to handle it. I have an ongoing relationship in this case.
But I do think we could go ahead with a memorializing resolution, and we have time, before it becomes too late.
What would it be? To whom asking for what?
Well, the DEC for one.
Yes.
Asking
them to enforce their existing regs, but they're under a consent decree that they can't enforce some of the regs that apply
to this
situation.
Well, enforce what they can.
I think that's fair.
So,
enforce all that you have and can enforce to the maximum that you can.
And try to expedite it.
Yeah, because you can't really write to a judge.
No, that's in a different realm. Well, they are.
I know some of the citizens are, but it won't help.
No, it won't help. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But we can write to the commissioner.
Yes.
Yeah,
right. I think that's.
Is anyone in a position to draft it? You guys want
to
work together?
Additional verbiage. Yeah, I think it's important that we, I have to take another look at it to see if they actually put any specifications to processing or if they just use the words identifiable like they do with medical waste.
I think that's what they're using, identifiable.
Yeah, that's very vague.
It is. That's what I'm saying. And that, to me, is something that needs to be addressed at the regulatory level. And it really is, there's an engineering answer on that.
The thing isn't
in there is troubling.
Mm-hmm.
It should already be in there. And
once you crush it, though, to get it to a certain size, that identifiability
that
goes away, and all kinds of things can be laced in. This is a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, is there any other action we need to take or any further discussion? Because we have a couple other things to talk about tonight.
I appreciate this discussion.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, next is for discussion. Thank you.
I think it's local law 4 is here.
Yeah. A local law number 2 of 2019, requiring restaurants and fast food service establishments,
plastic straws solely upon request to include, because you're going to amend local law 2 include plastic straws, plastic cutlery, and condiment packets.
Yes.
It just, in terms of the grammar, it reads funny to me.
Because the first one is just the title of the first law.
Yeah, but they're missing the
restaurants and fast food service establishments provide plastic beverage straws solely upon request to include plastic stirrers, cutlery, and condiment packets that came from Woodstock.
Well, Woodstock doesn't have the condiment packets.
Oh, okay. All right. So this was, this is amending that existing law.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this does not have a resolution attached to it yet.
No, this is for gainful conversation and input. So again, we did pass our, you need to ask for the straw. Included with that, we would like to see cutlery, stirrers, and the condiment packages. You know, when you go to many restaurants, they just start throwing handfuls of things in. Can only use so many soy sauce packages. And I think we should add in here, unless it's fortune cookies, and then we send them over to David Donaldson's house. I think he specifically asked for that. But anyway, so again, this is for input. I figured we'd introduce it now. There is no resolution attached to it, so there's, we're not looking to push a public hearing. And I'm hoping with this that, the education will be to pick up reusable and durables. I did go to a resource recovery agency workshop at Ulster Citizens, and they had some just really cool examples of, takeaway kits, chopsticks, and bamboo.
And bamboo, yeah.
And it was really neat.
They had that at the training this week.
Yeah, because I'm putting out the cutlery that is corn-based and is supposed to break down. Most of the composting facilities don't take that because you've got to put it through several times before it works through the system. I think the RRA takes it because they've got the forced air, so they have an aerobic type. But New Pulse, really, we try to avoid, anything made of corn or whatever else they've got.
And McDonald's already has a sign that says condiments upon request.
I think that's great. And it's an economic advantage to them, too, because they're not throwing handfuls.
You can't even understand why they do it.
I don't either.
It's like your bottom line is affected by just chucking things in that you're spending money on.
They know what customers like, and I guess that the customers who are annoyed by having it when they don't want it are balanced out by the customers who go, who pull that stuff out and use all of it and feel bad if they don't have it. But I did send comments to Legislator Petit about this. I had hoped that we would amend and move quickly on the plastic cutlery and the plastic stirrers, which I think are relatively unproblematic because they have not good alternatives.
Mm-mm.
The condiment packages, I see the point that you would rather have people ask for those, but there's no alternative to them that I know of for that convenience type of ketchup and, I've never seen anything where I go, oh, this isn't made out of plastic. And if they put them in a larger container, it's usually a larger plastic container that probably isn't.
I think the point is upon request, that you don't automatically get 6 ketchups in a bag. I don't even know the bag.
And those end up in composting. They don't break down, obviously.
Right.
So, and I have seen the little paper ones. they have a plastic cap
paper
on
cup.
Them.
Yeah.
But,
in Australia, they charge for ketchup packets and stuff. At least they did when I was there.
Wow.
They don't put ketchup packets out. They don't. Most people don't put it on their things. But I was traveling with a group of American teenagers. Uh-huh. So we ended up buying bottles of ketchup because they didn't want to pay like a quarter apiece for ketchup packets.
But that would be another layer of regulation to charge for it, like the paper bags. I'm interested in Legislator Warrow's response because I know you've had some concerns.
She's still getting over this draw.
Still having a hard time with... I just feel like we need a relationship with businesses to move things forward even more. And I just feel like there's a shutdown with a lot of businesses, especially in my district, that we're telling them. So they don't even want to hear anything you have to say about anything else moving forward. So I'm about partnership.
Is there a way to develop that at this point?
Well, now that we passed that, I don't know.
Did that come up at your meeting with the RRA? Did they bring
no.
up? Because that actually, they could help educate.
They brought up about straws, but the law didn't. And even their presentation is to some degree, like personal responsibility and what you
exactly.
like what you want to do. And in that direction. So, but the if I can just say quickly, we had 20 people come to the recycling information. And I would really recommend for anybody to host one in their district because it was really. And I've had a lot of people. Unfortunately, it wound up in the paper saying Monday the 4th, and it was Tuesday the 4th.
Yeah.
And a couple of people went and came back on Tuesday because they realized it wasn't the 4th. But I've run into a lot of people afterwards that. Wish that they'd gone. They forgot. So, but they did a really good job.
Man and I can retire now.
this is the RRA's.
We need to be
handed. Linda France and Angelina.
Yeah,
they did a really good job.
Yeah.
And we all walked out of there with, you know, because I'll be honest with you, when I set this up, my, you know, delusional thing was we're just going to make this cut and dry and we're going to make this really clear to everybody and we're going to be good. And then this hauler does that hauler does this. Everything is different. So I was a little discouraged, but after their presentation, I was more encouraged because there were different things that they talked about that I didn't realize. Like, because years ago when I started recycling, you didn't put caps on bottles. They had to all be off.
Uh-huh. Right. Uh-huh.
And now they want the detergent caps.
Yeah, that's a surprise because they were projectiles.
They had to be on.
Yeah.
They can't be loose because they said that they melt the whole thing down together,
mm-hmm.
and the two different plastics separate, and they need both plastics. So there was a lot of all my caps have gone even like the sour cream caps.
Yeah.
And stuff. I always threw caps automatically away. So they said anything smaller than a tennis ball, no.
It doesn't have to be, if it's going to melt, you don't have to put it back. You just put it in the...
No, because it's processed through a machine that gets clogged with the pieces.
Small pieces.
The small pieces clog the machinery. So that's why they want you to put it on.
If you leave them on there, then it gets taken in with the big piece. It
gets taken in with the big piece and melted and sorted.
Just don't run over it with a backhoe.
So, yeah. No, but the loose ones, they said, become projectiles, that is a problem. So, and I also didn't know, I should have, but we have cereal boxes, cracker boxes. I religiously save them and put them with my cardboard, their paper.
Uh-huh.
So I'm putting it with the wrong, I've been putting it with the wrong thing this whole time.
Cardboard is corrugated cardboard.
Yeah,
right?
It's brown.
Yeah.
Can I share the Rockland?
One thing that...
No, go ahead.
So on this, one of the things I included in what I sent to Legislator Petit is I think we should not use the term single use because a lot of people don't think of these things as single use. They get them and they take them home and they use them for picnics and stuff. And so I think it might imply that we're talking about a narrower universe. I think it's sufficient to say plastic. And when we're talking about, I'm not sure we're talking about, yeah, I think you do have it, biodegradable alternatives, I think is good language. But I would strike single use throughout, because it's not necessary and it might be confusing.
I found something I'm very excited about, and I just want to share it with you. In Rockland County, they have an app that you can put on your phone that I'm very excited about. I had to put in a Rockland County address. I just kind of picked one at random. But once it's for their recycling center. And once you put it in there, it tells me, like, for this fictitious, well, it's a real address, but it's not mine, that today I had a garbage pickup, and Monday I have garbage and recycling pickup. If I tap on recycling, it tells me, you know, like when I have to put my can out for my neighborhood and whatnot. But what's more exciting is that I can say I want to look up. So I'm cleaning out my garage and I find 6 cans of paint. What do I do with the paint? So it has paint. Click on paint. Aerosol cans, empty paint, metal cans, latex paints, paint finishes. I click on aerosol cans. It explains to me that I can't put them in the recycling, but I can take it to a drop-off location. Then it's got drop-off locations. The closest one to my house.
Yeah, we need that app.
And it has it cereal boxes. It's got light bulbs. It's got batteries. It's got all kinds of stuff in here. And it has stuff for haulers. Like I can look up what my hauler takes. You know, what, once I register with my hauler in here, it'll tell me what my hauler takes and doesn't take. I just think this is a fabulous app. It's not done, I mean, Rockland County didn't dream it up. It's some commercial group that does it. I just think that might be a really good thing to have in an RRA plan.
Were you able to find out how we could get it?
I didn't, yeah. But there's a but the company that's doing it is, like, comes up. It's not... It's a Rockland County app, but they're doing it like our Acela program that we track our committees with. It's some program that somebody's put out there.
So, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not a member of this committee, but Fawn did tell me about this the other day, and I think it's just absolutely, you know, perfect for what most people want, you know, to have all their questions answered in this fashion. So I don't know if it would be, you know, if it would be something we could ask Fawn to continue to pursue or if we go to purchasing with it.
Well, if I may, we're planning tours, and one of the tours is to the Rockland County Recycling Education Center. And by we, I mean the Solid Waste Planning Commission. So I think, you know, we can get all our questions about this answered.
No, that's fine.
We'd let them know ahead of time because it may be an entirely different person who knows how to do this app.
But the company's called Recycling Coach, and they're out of Toronto, Canada.
But it seemed like we could just contact them separately and ask them how much they charge a county to come up with that.
Yeah, maybe just give us their spiel. But anyway, I just...
I mean, I wanted 10 to 15 for the town.
I think, you know, just
making
that suggestion directly to the RRA staff, I think, is, you know.
They'd be the ones providing all the information.
I mean, they're being very proactive with their recycling training anyway, so this may be right up there in their bailiwick.
Yeah. So, anything else on... proposed local law number 4. Any more discussion on that tonight? Any other specific suggestions? Okay. I'd like to open the discussion on proposed local law does not yet have a number or a covering resolution, but this has been in the works, as some of you know, for 6 months. Or more, and it took a lot of doing to get this. I think we had a very good bill, but then when the state early this year passed their budget, they passed a state law that'll go into effect in 2022. ours will go into effect if it's passed in 2020. And there is a memo that goes with this that...
They're both attached separately.
Yeah, I saw it a minute ago. But anyway, that explains the comments and how we tried to align... Here it is. The... does everybody have a copy?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Okay. That's the extra copy for how we tried to align the law that was developed in a very collaborative manner with a wide range of stakeholders, including two sessions, one with haulers, one with large food waste generators that were quite well attended. And every time we met, different stakeholders would bring up different issues. The other thing to know is that I've talked to Deputy Executive Mark Ryder about setting up a meeting with the Department of Health, because they're named as having a very large role even beyond enforcement. Just very quickly, it starts with 2 tons a week in 2020, which is the same as what the state does for generators of 2 tons in 2022. But then it, a year later, would add 1 ton, which is more inclusive than the state, and could go down to 3/4 of a ton or even 1/2 a ton. So one of the main issues that came up, at one point, we were going to have a decision-making mechanism at the end of a year and a half to decide whether to go down to 3/4 of a ton or 1/2 a ton, because then you start going from large generators, large food waste generators, who, in a sense, are easier to control. There are a few of them, and you get more food waste diverted from each of them and collectively. And I put in some of the details and numbers that we got. They're not perfect, but they're from the Pollution Prevention Institute, who did some very good research. So, you know, the total... is I think 153 tons a week, but then there's an additional 48 tons if you go down to the norm.
I just have a question.
Yeah.
Just for reference, since, you know, a lot of when I was going over this, you know, it's really based around the tonnage benchmarks. It's really like the core. Just so, but then I realized I didn't have like a. Couldn't conceptualize it. Can you just get, like, I don't know if you know, but so say your average, can you
how
get a normal restaurant on a main street, is there like an average, just so I could, like, what, how many tons a week on that, like, just so I can have, like, a comparison.
P&Gs or something like that?
Yeah, like, something like that.
Yeah. They tend to start getting listed when you get down to 3/4 of a ton or 1/2 a ton.
Okay. So I was just looking for some type of...
Right, at the 2-ton level, I think they said at one of the meetings that you really only catch, like, the universities...
Hospitals.
And the hospitals,
yeah, okay.
Prisons, schools, that single restaurants would not...
Yeah, okay, cool,
like
that's helpful.
Tons.
And the state exempts healthcare facilities and schools, which we did not... If you look at SUNY New Paltz, they've been doing it for several years very effectively. Frost Valley, there are educational institutions that are, and we've asked one of the haulers to try to help us identify local K through 12 schools that are also doing it. And I think one of the reasons that so far there's been a high level of acceptance is that there are examples, including Hanaford is doing it, not in Ulster County, but in other counties.
Really
and
alone,
and But the tricky part is that what SUNY New Paltz has discovered is that in their large cafeterias, they're able to, with staff there, direct and educate the students, and the students bring their tray to a window, and the staff make sure that the food waste that's collected for composting is not contaminated. And that can be done at all grade levels. In the food court, that post-consumer waste is very difficult to keep free of contamination. So after much discussion, we realized that we can't be telling the haulers that are 2 tons, the generators that are 2 tons or more, we can't distinguish between pre- and post-consumer because the state does not make that distinction. But for anything less than 2 tons, we can allow a waiver if it is really onerous to prevent food waste from getting contaminated in a post-consumer setting like a food court. So that was how we resolved that. Go ahead.
The state is not exempting those activities, right?
The state is what?
The state law.
Only healthcare facilities.
No. The state law. Oh, I see. The state doesn't cover these at all.
No.
Okay.
It doesn't cover them at all, but it does cover food waste generators from 2 tons or more, and those tend to be easy to manage. If you're generating 2 tons of food waste on your site, you're doing a lot of food preparation. And that can, with a little bit of education, that can be managed easily. So SUNY New Paltz, most of their food waste is either pre-consumer or post-consumer in the dorms, which they can manage. But they don't want to get fined or cited for the food court, which would be very hard to manage. And so they could apply for a waiver from the food court. That's just as an example. It's complicated, but it's partly complicated because we had a really good law, and then we were advised wisely to align it with the state, so 2 years from now,
It's a smooth transition.
And that forced us to get creative in how to handle this. And I think what we've come up with just deals with every eventuality. Please.
I want to look into this. You know, I haven't, like, really detailed gone through it, but besides that question I had, the other only, was just a thought. To me, it seemed that the RRA would make more sense in terms of enforcement and so on than the Department of Health. So I was just curious. I'm sure you guys discussed this at length, so I'm just curious.
I think that's an excellent suggestion.
Yeah.
I mean, this looks very good, but
it's just
I can see why you would naturally want to involve the Department of Health because there are some health issues that come up with this. But I think they could be brought in for, if there's a concern. And that making this under the purview of the RRA would
let me give you the three reasons why we didn't do that. Because yes, we've in the last 6 months we've discussed this pretty thoroughly. The main reason is that the RRA is in the food waste processing business, and then there are private companies in the food waste processing business and haulers, and they thought there might be a conflict of interest for them to be not only regulatory, they were even reluctant, I think, to do the education. I think that we can change because with recycling, they're doing generic education, and that generic education says check with your hauler or check with your processor. Mm-hmm. So the other two reasons are that the Department of Health already is already regulates food service businesses.
Gotcha.
Most of them. Not all of them. There are a few that are regulated by Ag and Markets. But so they're there. And then the other reason is that they regulate haulers. And that is an important part of the collection process, unless people are going to opt to manage to compost on site or to do ethanol or biogas or something else on site. So I think we've, you know, taken a long time to try to answer all of the questions that have come up, but if you have any others or...
Well, just on that one to follow up, that those would seem like valid considerations. And my question, next question then would be, was then how much extra work will this be for the Department of Health? And that have we probably haven't been able yet, but we probably should now go to the executive for working out that, because this could be costly if it requires additional staff. It doesn't mean we shouldn't do it, but we need to know if we have
the capacity
to do it with the existing workforce.
First of all, we're talking about, for the first two levels, 1 ton and 2 ton, we're talking about 50 businesses. We're not talking, and these are businesses that the Department of Health, I think what might be onerous is the education. There is also a reporting mechanism, but everyone who participated suggested that the reporting be done to the RRA, and then they just send a copy to the Department of Health, who would then, once a year, once this plan is in place, at least as we get through those 4 years of implementation, would review the reports that come from the previous year, which will have an opportunity for comments if people have serious concerns that we haven't thought about.
And the other places that they might send it to compost could send reports too, right?
Yes. Yeah. We also really stressed food reuse first. There's an actual hierarchy, and the farmers are included in terms of animal feed.
And then as my just kind of more for food for thought, you had talked about the schools before. Actually, it's, the healthcare facilities doesn't give me as much concern as really actually the public schools. And so obviously, you know, support and think it should be what people are taking action anyway without being forced to do, but. You know, one is that we're talking about entities that are under a constrained budget with the 2% cap, and we have school. I mean, the school district that legislator Nolan and I represent. You know, we recently met with them a couple months ago. I mean, it's money is tight, property taxes are high. The majority of property taxes, all your school taxes. For example, like SUNY New Paltz, the reason why they've been successful is because they essentially have two full-time, I mean, with Lisa Mitten, and then as well as the gentleman who we met who's on the oversight committee, I forgot his name,
Brian Goodwin.
Mind.
But they essentially have two full-time expert staff, you know, that are helping making these programs be successful. So my biggest concern with the schools is how can we mitigate the financial impact the most for the public education institutes. That's actually the out of any type of exemption or any type of concern, the public schools are the only thing that because I can just picture, you know, especially with the unfunded mandates on the state level, and this technically is an unfunded mandate from the county level. That's just the one thing I think, you know, if we can be creative.
Especially after the state is exempted then.
Yeah. You know, think about, you know, really think about, just because if I was a school board or superintendent, you know, I'd be, you know, in some of these struggling districts, I'd be like, holy cow, how are we going to execute this? Because we don't want them to do it unless it's going to be effective.
But I have a question. How would they be required, would it be based on school district or like we have five buildings?
Well, that's so that was my
neither per building facility. Would
be per facility. So yeah,
so if it's building. More than half a ton,
yeah.
Well, let's if it's more than 2 tons or 1 ton, I think we're going to do some really rigorous exploration before
yeah,
we go
yeah.
down
I just wanted
to three.
You know bring that
and I had originally we yeah. had built in a review at before we go to 3/4 ton, but now that review is built in on an ongoing mm-hmm. basis. But I, you know, I think those questions.
I think that's a good point.
The alternative was to take out the lower numbers
yeah.
and then amend it in the future. And I think the feeling is that we all have to be doing our share, and we all have to become the Lisa Mitten or Ryan
Goodwin.
Yeah, but again, Goodwin, my concern again with, I think Mary brings up a really good point though, is where like, again, new policy is a good example in a sense, but also it's one set, location. Whereas you know we're four buildings, there are five buildings, or mm-hmm. three buildings now.
I think these are implementation issues that are important, but it's also the schools are one of the most important places to have these programs.
No, exactly, which is tough. That's why.
But the other point
is
right
that
I think that the law as written allows either that you haul it and handle it that way, or you do it on site. It'd be interesting to go to Frost Valley and ask them at what level they started doing on-site, because that is a better solution than sending it someplace.
They from the time they started separating food waste in the 1990s, they've done it on-site.
Right, but I wonder what volume they were then. I'm not even sure what volume they are now, but I think that the smaller volumes, is my point, should push towards doing it on site.
Yeah.
Because you reach a point of diminishing return if you're hauling it around, because
yeah.
you're using energy to do that. And the process of anaerobic and aerobic digestion is a scientific marvel.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just
New
thinking Paul, that
some of the schools are doing it on site.
For a place like Ontario, it would be more logical because they also have the acreage, the
yeah.
land.
Maybe in the city.
Yeah, well, the city of Kingston might be a little bit more, more creative. But
yeah.
But the kids are involved with it in New Paul School. They talk about it, they go out, they see where their food goes. The other thing they do is food reduction. Like, the children are required to take a thing of milk. They have to take it. A lot of them don't drink it. They don't want it. They're not, unless they're allergic to milk, they got to take it. So they have a table just outside the line, but before they go to sit at their tables, where they can put anything that's on their tray that they don't want to eat. Now we get back to all those little individual. It would be nice if they could just pour the milk in bulk into a cup, but they leave those milk cartons. So if somebody else wants to drink two or three milks, they can go just to help themselves. Or they brought their lunch from home, and they don't have it. So they have this sharing tape, you know, they're educating the kids not to be wasteful. They do the same thing at the college, too, where they try to train them not to take food if they're not going to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Not to, you know, if you want a half portion, you can order a half portion. If, you know, you don't have, if you,
mm-hmm.
And they also do the green boxes. So they're mm-hmm. producing less waste overall, that they reuse those boxes and clean them. You know, so they're, sometimes in a controlled small environment like that, you can try a lot of things. The college has at least, I think, a dozen different food service places scattered all over the campus.
Mm-hmm.
Although they have a food court, they've got the bakery, they've got other places all over campus besides the dorms.
But they're still on the same campus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
oh,
our
yeah.
schools are 5 miles apart.
And it's all run by Sodesco. All
yeah.
the food service is run by the same company.
Well,
yeah.
Our elementary school is very progressive in being green, and they have their own garden. But they've run into the problem that I talked to some people from the PTA, and they actually have a green committee, that the kids are required to take 3 items. So, and they've run into that they're not allowed to do the sharing table thing because the milk, they have to have a refrigerator. and they don't have a refrigerator, and they said that they would have to have a person monitoring it, and they don't have it in their budget for somebody to monitor it.
I don't know how they're doing it in New Paltz.
I know.
I don't know how, but
I know.
They may be just,
I don't know if they have
the issue of the milk getting warm.
So living that outlaw life.
And they may have, you know what I mean? Like, they, whoever's overseeing them may be,
able
might
to
have somebody that's just...
Yeah, they may have something with ice in it that they're sticking them in.
Whatever,
I don't know
yeah.
how they do it, but I just
yeah.
know that they do it.
But I know that our schools really tried to, and they've run into some roadblocks because of financial
mm-hmm.
restraints.
Well, if we may have to go to the New York State Legislature and get them to shift the educational requirements and priorities so that it could include waste reduction and waste management as part of the curriculum, and let existing teachers teach this and manage it in cooperation with PTA and other groups. It, you know, this is the kind of stuff that would be important to have in the classroom, could make for great content, and yet is going to fall outside of any kind of Regents preparation. So,
and we also have a new superintendent, so he may be more open or
mm-hmm.
more proactive in.
So I guess what I'm saying in response to Legislator Heppner's concerns is that by the time we get to these smaller institutions, I hope that we could be encouraging them already to shift to on-site types of approaches that might be affordable and better in terms of educating the students.
I think what we also would do to be consistent with the process we've had so far, where we brought large food waste generators and haulers, is have a conference for the educational, you know, for the schools, for the K through 12s, and by the way, SUNY New Paltz is doing this, but SUNY Ulster is not, and I've talked
mm-hmm.
to the folks there. We have a budget coming up. I think we should bring
mm-hmm.
that, maybe
mm-hmm.
if several of us bring that up, then.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same thing, bring in some really good examples of healthcare. I actually had concern about healthcare because people are on isolation and
mm-hmm.
so forth. But again, I think absolutely for healthcare facilities, they would focus on pre-consumer and post-consumer.
Mm-hmm.
Can get a waiver.
Yeah.
And it was really Emily Svensson. You know, when we were wrestling with these last few loose ends, who said, well, you know, if they generate less than 2 tons, you can regulate that. You can grant waivers. In other words, if the state says everybody pre or post has to do, you know, has to compost all of that food waste, we were not able to say, yeah, but if it's post-consumer and you need a waiver
mm.
for a good cause, you can go to the Department of Health or whoever it ends up being. I've been speaking with Mark Ryder about ASAP getting a meeting with Dr. Smith. We've kept them informed,
mm-hmm.
but they, you know, with the transition, we just haven't had a chance to have a meeting, but if it's going to get a bill number and a resolution next month, we really, you know, have to have a chance to hear. And I would bring some of the committee members that helped draft this there to hear the concerns and, you know, sort of negotiate with the RRA, because, you know, in a sense, the RRA has a very proactive role with recycling, and they collect recyclables and market them, and there's no flow control over recyclables. There's no flow control over this material. It just has to stay in the county unless somebody shows good cause. So if they're way out near Hardenburg and they have a place to take it over the border, they can. And we're including every business in Ulster County that generates the various levels of food waste, regardless of the distance. The state says you have to be within 25 miles of a facility. Almost everyone is, except for that far end of the Route 28 corridor, and that's where Frost Valley is, and they're composting on site, and they'd be glad to help. Emerson is considering, and
there's a couple of breweries, and they are already connected with Hog Farms.
Community, yeah. Oh, Hog Farms, that's great. So I think that kind of covers it. If you have a chance to read it over and come up with any other questions, let's leave this in the Neckers box. Now, let's get back to the agenda. I think we've made good progress. But I really like the idea of doing sort of a peer match conference well before the law kicks in for the smaller... the smaller large generators. Okay. Climate Smart Committee. I'm trying to think if there's anything especially new. I mean, we're also waiting for the transition to occur to try to get the Green Business Challenge or the Green Business Coordinator, that position filled. At this point, it could probably be filled full-time, but then that wouldn't cover... but anyway, just because we've taken up half a year of budget with an unfilled position. the other thing that occurred since our last meeting was... we did have an educational event in Saugerties, but and the chamber did send out on the Green Business Challenge, and the chamber sent out a notice, but we didn't get the response that I had hoped for. However, the few people that came were very engaged, and hopefully will reach out to other businesses. Oh, excuse me. The other issue is July 4th. Jonathan, you have in, I see you have, everybody have their calendar out. We have a holiday coming up when we would otherwise meet. And
is anybody on this committee on legislative programs? Me?
Yeah. Okay.
So the 8th probably doesn't work. We might be able to do it on the 3rd after Public Works. That would be kind of late the night before the 4th of July. I don't know if people are going to fireworks and things that night.
It works for me.
What works for you?
I think I'm going away, so I probably would be leaving that night.
Because we really do want to have a quorum for July. What does the following week look like?
What's on that Monday the 3rd? That's what we were talking about Monday. I thought it was a Tuesday.
July 8th is the Monday I was talking about.
Oh, so I'm in June. What about July 1st?
We have public health at 5 and at 6:15 is law enforcement.
Oh, yeah, I'm on law enforcement.
Economic development is the 2nd.
Oh, we'll be here.
I'm not on economic development.
I would hate to put anything before, try to do it at 5 o'clock because your meetings usually aren't going to be done in an hour. So
I can do it.
Well, actually, in July, you'll be out of session.
Yeah, I can do that. I can do 5 o'clock in July.
But economic development starts at 6. You think your meeting's going to be over in an hour?
No. We're never
We had 2 resolutions tonight. We were 2 hours.
And there was no discussion on the resolutions.
Yeah. No motion.
What? So it looks like it's going to have to be the week of the 8th?
I think I have to double check. I can't remember if I'm away that week or the following week, but I can miss a meeting. It's fine.
Yeah, but we're having a hard time getting
Yeah. I can't remember which week, and I didn't put it in my calendar yet. Let me see.
Okay.
Monday the 8th would be good because it's before everything. But
what's on the 8th?
Legislative programs
at the college.
It's 6:30. We could meet at the college
yes,
at 5 o'clock.
Well, I don't think I would make it by 5.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, I could try, but
what
I
time is legislative
that.
Programs over
6:30.
Here?
Oh, it starts at 6:30.
Oh. And what's the 9th?
I mean, the 9th is caucus.
If it works for Lynn, I could just try to get there as quick as I can.
Mm. 10th or 11th?
I saw that.
What's the
10th? The 10th, there are no meetings scheduled. I have a doctor's appointment that afternoon that I'm waiting 2 months to get into.
That book, Kathy.
But we could work around me. And the 11th, there's nothing scheduled.
We talked about...
Why don't we
from your
think
friend,
about the 11th, Jonathan?
Oh, yeah. I can't think of the name of
it. I'm trying to sign.
It came today.
I can't remember if I'm away
so
the second week or the third week.
If you don't have it.
I'm
trying to remember which book.
It would have to be before the third week because session is the 16th.
Yeah.
That's why I'm thinking I wouldn't have scheduled to go away the week of session.
And we can't meet the week before because we don't have the resolutions. It's difficult to meet on a Friday because the building isn't open after 6 o'clock and we have to be someplace where the public can...
Paradise built in hell.
Oh, right. Alex Truesdale's friend. Yes. Oh, good.
So,
finished.
So, well,
yeah.
I ordered it when we were sitting there.
Is anybody on economic development in this committee? Lynn, I don't know if Lynn Eckert is. Let me just go grab my committee list.
I don't
remember.
I think she is.
Oh, no, I'll be there that week. I'm going the week after session. That's how organized I am.
So you'll be here the week of the 11th?
Yeah, the week of the 11th I'll be here.
Okay.
So that Thursday the 11th?
Yeah.
Just move it back a week. Later it would be after caucus, but
that's fine.
So 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock. You want to leave it at 6?
Leave it at 6.
If you can, it's hard for me to get here before that.
Okay,
yeah. And me too.
Yeah, no, I prefer. I prefer 6.
Okay, so we'll try to schedule on the 11th at 6.
Sounds
my son's birthday.
Oh,
I probably won't see him anyway. You know how when they're 39 they don't.
Yeah.
They don't want to party with mom?
Yeah. 6 p.m., 7-Eleven. I just, wait a second. That,
you're going, that sounds familiar.
Rings a bell that I just scheduled something. Oh, it was a morning thing. It's fine. Okay. 6 p.m., 7-Eleven. Because 7-Eleven sounds so funny. You know? I think at this point I can safely ask for a motion to adjourn.
I'll move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion adjourned. Meeting adjourned at
7:52.
7:52.